again. Welcome to another episode of Knights of the Round Table. If you're listening to this right now, it is New Year's Day. It is January 1. You made it through another year, gangsta.
Another decade.
What we are drinking.
I love that song by Drake. I love that. Aubrey, yeah.
We're drinking a fake rosé from Welch's Grape.
It's New Year's Day. We're trying to calm down, you know?
Yeah, we're trying to turn down for a second. So cheers to everyone.
Three, two, one.
Made it.
Happy New Year.
New Year, new me.
That's good.
Ooh, that is sweet.
That's good.
Oh, I didn't like that at all.
That's the kind of drink.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all.
No,
I just got a little burst of energy.
Yeah, I'm about to run around the room. That sugar hit.
I'm so glad that we made it, you know, out here in these streets, just running wild, and we made it, you know. Grateful.
Okay.
Grateful
Manny,
that all y'all dodged bullets to get here. Hey, man, we're going to do some icebreakers of what happened this past decade. Look, because we're about to be at the end of a decade.
That's so special.
We are. No, we are. We made it. Remember? Remember how you were telling the people that we made it because it's New Year's Day?
Yes.
It's
yes.
almost like you were trying to convince them that we won, actually.
We
still
are,
you know,
totally making it past 2020. This decade. We're in 2020.
We did it.
It's the official start of the next decade.
My goodness.
Some things that happened in the last decade.
Last time.
The first iPad came out in 2010.
Dang. Whoa. Steve Jobs.
Gaga wore her meat dress.
She did.
Iconic.
At the VMAs. Mm-hmm. I still don't know how
Stinky.
I feel about it.
Stinky.
Was it real meat? Do we know if it was real meat?
Yes.
It was real meat, huh?
I don't know. I just guessed.
No,
you've been to the
carnivorous.
No, no, no. Wearing a dress made entirely of raw beef.
And it's in a museum now. And so.
And she, oh my God. It is in the Rock and Roll Hall
on
of Fame.
Ice.
Rock
so
and Roll Hall of Fame.
Real.
I don't know if you guys remember Rebecca Black, but that song
it's
Friday.
Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
Oh my God, y'all actually,
wow.
I did not
I know
this
that
song.
To the weekend.
100 million plus views this girl got from this.
Yo.
Yeah.
From a song that was just bad.
I vaguely remember that. I vaguely remember that.
Well, people watched it because it was so bad and people kept sharing it. Like, you gotta watch this video. Yeah. It's so bad. And
joke's on them. She's like, she kept going.
Yeah. I don't know
Wednesday,
if she's done anything
Tuesday,
since then.
What else?
Monday.
What else?
The royal wedding happened.
Aw.
Prince William married Catherine Middleton. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. In 2011, everybody was planking.
Oh, everyone was planking.
Yeah.
I never planked.
I got a picture of mine.
Did you?
Yeah.
I got one, too.
I'm going to get that. I planked some cool places around the world.
I've never planked. 2011,
we should
do
it right now on the table. No, new decade, new decade.
We said bye to Harry Potter in 2011. Sad. I don't know if y'all remember Lynn Sanity for the basketball world.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy agent that took over the Knicks. That was amazing. Coney 2012 went viral.
Shoot,
that
what
was
is
crazy.
That? That's so. Remember it, Stop Coney. This is
yes,
dark.
yeah.
That was like one of the first real like
activism for somewhere in Africa.
Invisible Children. Yep.
And I remember when that guy lost it, and he was like filmed on the corner naked, like having a breakdown.
The Coney guy.
Yeah.
Oh,
not
man.
Coney. Coney was the evil guy, the guy who started the organization and to stop Coney 2012.
Got you. Wow, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Gangnam Style became the most watched video ever. Whoop'em Gangnam Style. Is that it?
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Whoop'em Gangnam Style.
Every little kid was just doing it. Every major sports game you went to.
Oh, he was massive. He was massive. Shoot. Okay, the Harlem Shake went viral in 2013.
Hey.
The new Harlem Shake.
Yeah, the new Harlem Shake, not the shoulders, but
not the,
original. Everyone was doing
the
weird, things. No,
like
where it'd be like,
I'm with it.
I forgot how it goes, but anyways, once the beat drops, it's like the scene changes and everyone's just doing crazy stuff.
Like your normal. Were you frozen on just normal?
No. That was the other challenge.
Oh God,
that was the Black Beatles challenge.
Black Beatles challenge that also happened this past decade, which was big.
Happened.
The challenges.
Where
Last
did
bucket
the, what does the fox say became a YouTube sensation?
What does the fox say?
In 2013, which is interesting. In 2014, an airplane disappeared over Malaysia. The Malaysian airplane.
That thing had me stumped.
I don't think until in July of this year, the Atlantic gave us the clearest story to date what happened. The plane was likely intentionally crashed by the pilot. That's interesting.
Really? I didn't know that.
That's sad.
That's what it says.
I could not.
2014, everyone was doing the ice bucket challenge.
Yeah.
We did that. We were back in the condo at that point because I remember.
I did it with money.
You did not.
I did.
Was this in your Cancun days?
Yeah, this is when I had a bunch of cash on me.
2015, the internet had heated over the debate over the color of that dress.
Purple, gold.
Yeah, black and blue, purple.
It's black.
The crowd looks blue. I don't know what the debate was.
No, it was gold.
No, it wasn't even close to being gold.
Okay, well, we can't get into this right now. It's a new decade.
2015, Apple released the racially diverse emojis.
Finally.
Oh, that was 2015?
Finally, I had the prayer hands in my own color.
They're not prayer hands. They're high fives.
I know, they're high fives, right?
Who actually uses those as a high five? No, they're always going to be prayer hands.
The prayer hands is what I use them for, and that's what they are. 2015, same-sex marriage became legal in the U.S.
Yeah.
2016, Leo finally won an Oscar.
Yes, he did.
Because that dude should have won it a long time ago.
He had to get ripped apart by a bear, didn't he?
2016. Yeah. 2016, the world went crazy over Pokemon Go.
Remember people died playing that?
People died playing that.
Okay, I downloaded that, but I deleted it as soon as they started like invading all your privacy. Because you like sign your rights over.
Oh shoot!
I was low-key addicted for sure with that.
That's a surprise.
Were you really?
Because when I was like 10 years ago, I would like love Nintendo Pokemon. So when it came back, I was like, no, I'm not doing it. No. And then my little nerd girl came out, and I was like, Pikachu.
It says that it's still a very popular game.
Yeah, I still
love it.
So is Angry Birds, but no one's on it.
October 2016, the Vine app shut down.
Oh! And then the Instagram story thing.
Had over 200 million active users.
Yeah.
Wow.
And only 3 years after its launch in 2013, we all mourned the loss of the groundbreaking
app. Crazy.
Wow.
This is one of those things where I hope the owner or the creator of it was like Tom in MySpace, and he got out at like 300 mil. Mm. I don't think it says this, so...
Poor guy.
Guy probably didn't get out with it, whatever, damn, that was so big.
Try TikTok.
2017, millions attended the Women's March. I remember that.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Come through.
Yep. Everyone was playing with fidget spinners.
Oh, yeah.
2017, this is pretty recent.
Yeah, now this is getting recent.
Fully remember fidget spinners.
October 2017, the Me Too movement took off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's
crazy. I didn't know that was 2017.
Wow.
2018, there was a false missile warning in Hawaii.
Yo, I remember that.
I missed that one.
That was crazy.
No, I remember that.
Really?
That was scary.
What does the warning say on that phone?
It said, ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill.
Yeah.
That actually happened?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we don't live in Hawaii, so we wouldn't have gotten that, right?
No, but it was all over the internet. Like, if you opened up Twitter...
One of my friends, Yaz, like just reposted it the other day and was like, you remember this, guys? I was like, we should bring that up again.
2018, another royal wedding. Now it was.
That was our princess.
Yeah, that was Mrs. Markle. Man, good job, Prince Harry. October 2018, Banksy painting self-destructed.
Shredding.
Sold for $1.4 million.
That was so great.
That was baller.
I loved that.
Wow. Oh my God.
He's crazy. 2019, the most diverse class of lawmakers in history was sworn into Congress. That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
And 2020, Knights of the Roundtable podcast started.
Yeah.
There it is.
Is that 2020?
It was 2019.
2019.
Our podcast started.
Man, that's dope. It's a lot happening. There's probably a lot more, you know, if we kept going. But those are all the pretty good highlights.
That's a big decade.
Like, Be Real is saying Drake also owned this
Drake,
decade.
Yeah, Drake owned this decade. Out of the 520 weeks on the Billboard in these 10 years, Drake has been on in top 10 509 of those weeks.
That is insanity.
He has dominated.
The only reason he wasn't on the rest of them is because he decided to take a break.
Yeah, my man, like his whole career has just launched in here.
Wow.
And I mean, arguably... Because, like, again, he had to start 2009, and I remember listening, you know, his mixtape dropped, Successful came out, Best I Ever Had, which was just so huge, you know. And then 2010 happens, and my favorite rap artist, Kanye West, comes out with the best rap album of this decade, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, which was created in Hawaii. Mm. He flew in all the best producers from around the world and locked himself up in a ton of these studios, and... Everyone just came in, did their part, and they created a masterpiece.
Man, that's crazy.
So
wow. I'm a Drake fan, so big ups to Drake on the last decade.
Congratulations. Of being amazing.
Hey, so on Instagram, there's this thing called the 10-year challenge, which you post a picture of your old 10-year-ago self with your new self. And we're going to do that. So if you're listening to this, you've probably already seen it. If not, head over to our Instagram page and you'll see our 10-year challenge of each of us. And we wanted to do like a verbal 10-year challenge. Like, let's talk about the 10-year ago us. What was that guy like, girl like?
Sorry, Doug.
What were we, you know, what we liked or disliked about that person? And yeah, let's talk about it. The old me was not that swell. At this point in 2010, I've come to the realization that I was a whore.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah, I was a whore. I was looking for love in all the wrong places. And I did not like who I was. I liked a lot about me, but I didn't like where I was at in life. This was at the point where I was trying to pray away my sex drive. And I was like, oh, this is the worst thing ever. And that didn't work at all. And that's when the Lord told me that I needed to pray for faith because I had no faith. The reason I was doing what I was doing is because I lacked faith that God had somebody for me out there. So I was just going willy-nilly, just giving myself away to everyone. So I remember 2010 was the year that I deleted every person out of my phone that didn't bring me closer to Jesus. And it was about 3 months later that Deanna hit me up and said, you need to check out my girl. Wow. And that's when I met Ange.
2010.
Oh, 3 years, wow. 3 months after I got serious. So that year was the most depressing. And then at the same time, I just finally got sick of myself and was like, I'm going to live right. And 3 months later, I met Ange unofficially. And then we were engaged by the end of that year.
That is so crazy that that's what you were going through before you met me. Because
Did you bring your thing?
I did.
This is so dope.
I found my old journal from 2010.
Shoot. Whoa.
I've earmarked a few places to read from. But so early on, I only read you that like one page, but early on I was reading this page and where I said something like, I am in a phase where I'm sick of myself right now. Mm. And that's funny that you just said that.
Yeah, I was so sick of myself.
I don't know what page, but I did say that somewhere in these pages. I was like, I am sick of myself. I'm going into a season where I'm sick of myself right now. Okay, so July 27th, 2010. It's pretty long. I'm just going to get to the good parts. So I really want acting jobs, but I want you more, not mundane you, on fire you. In love and more than content, lacking nothing. I know that I'm still being prepared and you are still preparing the one for me, whoever he may be. I pray for him right now. I pray that he would be completely obedient to you when you ask him to do something, whether it be fast, stop, something, seek help with something, grow up, take risks.
Oh, shit. As you're saying this, I did these things.
That is crazy.
take risks. Help him with all of these things. Bless his family right now. Wow. I pray for my in-laws right now. I pray that you would help them in whatever they need help in. Prepare them to let go of their son. Prepare them for me. I pray that they would be an example of love and forgiveness and strength and happiness. And I pray for their health and yada, 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 yada. And I go on to pray for them.
Wow.
You know, okay. Chronologically, time-wise, this was around the exact same time where I started deleting everybody's name out of my phone.
Isn't that nuts?
Because we were official in October. And July, August, September, October is 3 months
so
before.
So that's July 27th, 2010. Cut to a few more pages. After my birthday. August 18th, 2010. So Deanna is trying to hook me up with her friend. It's that guy from her wedding. Her husband's best friend. His name is Manuel Reyes. He's a very handsome dude. He's a Christian. He's in the entertainment biz. I'm a little weary, to be honest. Number one, I know he knows person's name I will not mention. Mm-hmm. Not that that means anything, but if they are boys, tough one. Number two, he's really good looking. Although I would want that, it seems too good to be true. Like a, not mentioning the name again, Christian, but with major issues. I don't know. I'm just weary. I guess part of it is me not trusting myself to go slow and make good decisions. Hear God's voice in the midst. That's real. God's voice ends up getting clouded. I need to work on me and Jesus and what comes. I will just try my hardest to listen to God and obey. Lord, help me to stay focused. Until then, not get caught up in daydreams. Let me get closer to you in this time, Lord. Let me come to you for companionship. And then I go, okay, see, already, because it's new, shoot, because I went off into a daydream. That's why I wrote that. I love it. Help me to focus. What should I say?
Shoot.
Yeah. And then, so yeah, that was from July to August 18th.
Wow.
When did you guys meet?
And you didn't write in anything after that?
Oh, no, I have pages and pages, but this
do you have the day you guys met?
Probably
this whole podcast is just reading Angela's journal.
Yeah, probably in person. I need to go through it. I literally just pulled it out right before you guys came and I happened to find that page. This was I was in Nashville. Remember when we FaceTimed getting my hotel room
the first time?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were in Nashville. That's interesting.
I've been talking to Manuel. I like him so far. Lord, help me to be on guard, aware, discerning, listening to you. Let me only move forward when you say and how you say. Help me to build a friendship with this guy.
Mad walls up.
So funny.
You have mad walls up. That's so funny. I knew it.
My 2010, I was sick of myself in the beginning of the year, and then I met my husband by the end of the year of 2010. So that was the biggest thing that happened for me in this decade. But one thing I wanted to mention, I was reading through some earlier pages and, listening to like how I talked, and I was a little torn because like some of the things that I was saying, like when I'm tired of me and, it was a lot of like more of you, Jesus, and, less of me. And, I can't think of the words right now and I don't want to waste time looking for the page, but I was torn because part of me was reading it going like, yeah, that is a girl hungry for God and passion. And I love that. Yeah. And I love that about the me of 2010. But then at the same time, a lot of the intention and the words that I was writing, it was shame. Mm-hmm. It was not
right
necessarily just from me being a creation of the creator and wanting that, like, yeah, let's connect, like low-key connect, God. It was very much filled with, I'm a horrible person and I just want to be better for you. And what I would say to 2010 me is, you're fine.
Yeah.
Chill out. Mm. Just be. Just be. Stop striving. You can't earn God's love. Just be. And you mess up one day, you mess up.
Yeah.
And did you mess up?
Right.
Or are you just living? Just live and trust that you are in relationship with God and God is speaking to you and you communicate with him and do your journey, do you? That's what I would tell 2010 me is, yes, have passion for your creator, but make sure your motivation and your intentions, that it's not coming from shame. Like, that's not necessary. Just pause for a second. Know you're loved and just sit in that.
You know, it's hard to not treat yourself the same way you treat other people. I think we were, at least from my camp, we were taught to see the sin in people. We were taught to point it out. Like, this is wrong. And all these things that we do are sins accumulated. And so I would easily see it in myself and just feel like the worst person ever because It's like, I'm not going to get this right. And it, no matter how hard I try, I couldn't get it right. And then I would look at other people and they're not getting it right. And I didn't understand what it meant to just be like, to not focus on the sin. Because I've heard somebody say that before, that, you know, whatever it is that you focus on becomes your God. Eventually it becomes your everything, because you're giving all your energy and your power to that thing. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is that you're trying to conquer or beat or get better at, as opposed to just falling back and like thanking God, loving God for who he's made you to become, and understanding that the closer you get to him, these things will just start dissipating. Like, they'll start eventually fading away. And it was hard to get over that, because it, at least the way I was raised and where we were at, it was very much, it was like this almost militant thing against sinners and sin.
Yeah.
So it was easy to be righteous when picking other people's sins out. Very hard to do the same thing to myself. So shame just automatically came with that, because I had zero understanding of who I was in God. Zero. Zero. I just knew what I shouldn't be doing.
Right.
And that ain't like a relationship with God. That's like, I'm scared of my parents. I don't want them to find out I did this. That doesn't mean that I'm close to my parents. It just means that I'm scared of what they'll do if they find out I'm a crappy son.
Right.
Which, that was 2010 for me.
Wow.
Look how far we've come, babe.
Look how far we've come.
Dang. What about you guys? 2010 you.
B.
All right, cool. Pass it off to me. All right, 2010, I'm coming off my freshman year in college. And we had just won a conference championship, which was one of the highlights of my life.
Mm.
You have thousands of people rushing the floor. We go up on the ladder. We cut a piece of the net. Everyone's cheering. Like, it's crazy. So that summer, it's like I'm experiencing a basketball high. And at the same time, too, I'm like, I'm afraid to let myself make mistakes.
Hmm.
All for fear of like wanting to be like the perfect Christian. I'm coming off like one of the most radical years of my life. I had made the Nazirite vow before God, you know, and was like,
what's the Nazirite vow?
Well, it's like, okay, it's kind of pick or choose.
Okay.
But it's based out of number 6, and it's a group of these guys who dedicated a time in their life, a season, or some of them for their entire life, this season towards God, and there were certain rules that they followed. One was they don't drink any alcohol, they don't shave their beard or their hair. I couldn't grow a beard.
Yeah.
Like, I was.
And then you can't touch anything that's like dead, no dead bodies. So it was all kind of spiritual symbolism for like cutting yourself off from things that are dying in your life. So it's like fully consecrated. The hair was like, I'm fully devoted towards God. And then, of course, drinking alcohol, that was not a big thing. So 2010 were to meet me now.
Wow.
And we were just sitting in the car and I would just laugh. And 2010 would be looking at me.
He would
like,
be so disappointed.
Wait, you have a wine collection in your home? Brandon, you drink whiskey?
Like, you've changed, man. Can I pray for you? Like,
buddy, you have not experienced a lot of things. No, but I just remember being so afraid to make the mistake, and that was my mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I did my best to like not go to crazy parties and not become that person in college, which it's so easy to become, that in a way I didn't even really let myself live. And that was the mistake.
Mm.
And it was all under the guise of like, man, I just want to be so devoted to God, which I think is a good intention. But at the same time, too, it was like I was actually completely missing the point of like, man, I'm missing the thing that's actually valuable, which is loving the people where I'm at and giving myself grace and permission to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And so I remember that summer feeling like super excited and hopeful for my future. I'm hoping I could find my future wife in college, which didn't happen.
Yeah.
And that summer, I just remember devoting myself. I shot 70,000 shots that off season.
Wow.
So for those of you, like, if you're looking in a summer thing, that's almost 1,000 shots every day.
Wow.
I was literally shooting so much. I was getting like arthritis in my wrist and blisters on my hands. And then 2010 ended up being my best college season.
Hmm.
I came and was just killing it. And this is actually all right before 2011 would be the crappiest year of my life.
Wow.
But 2010 was a good one. But I think if I had to go back and give myself a talk, I would sit myself down and say, Brandon, I know your heart. you got really good intention, but you're actually missing the point, man. Mm. I want you to go back and reread what Jesus talked about in the Bible. Go back and reread the Gospels. Mm. And let's start there. Mm. And after you reread those and see them for what they really are saying, come back and we'll have a talk about how you're living your life.
Sheesh.
And yeah, and I would challenge myself on a lot of things. And I think younger me thought I knew everything, and I realize now I really don't know that much.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to make sense of a lot of things. But that was also the scary thing. It's like a young 19-year-old Brandon Smith thinking he knows how this thing works out, how it's figured out. And I'm like, little boy, you don't know anything.
Yeah.
And I think it's like a lot of that knowing, you only truly know once you can carry that through life experience. Like, it's one thing to have book knowledge. There's people who can read books for whatever. But if that knowledge isn't actually lived out, it means nothing, right? That's the whole arc of the Bible. It's the word becoming flesh. Like, until it becomes flesh and until this thing is actually walked out, it doesn't mean anything. It's just words.
Right.
And so for me, I knew a lot up here, but I didn't know a lot in my heart. And actually lived out and having to, like, fight for what I believe and all that. And I would also laugh because I'm like, hey, you're about 5 years away from completely deconstructing everything you've ever known. So good luck with that. But just know there's hope on the other side.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
For
and
sure.
So, yeah. So young me was like so hopeful and naive and innocent, you know, like, yeah, it's crazy. I laugh because I was looking at pictures of me and I was looking at my smile and I was like, you know, that smile is cute because you just have like joyful innocence. Mm. But I think once you've been through some things and you can still smile, I think that smile means so much more.
Yeah.
Like I look at even some wrinkles in my face and those wrinkles are because of smiling so much, you know? Dope. And I'm like, that's dope, you know? So.
Aw, B.
What would you say to your 10-year you?
Oh, 10-year. Okay. Well,
please show them that one picture.
Yeah, we got a few to go through. I have a few photos because I was a few different people. And I think that I was in my second year working for my dad. I had graduated Bible college, only did a year, and almost got kicked out. You know, it wasn't a long period for me.
Wait, so you graduated in a year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We were done after a year. So wow. Dad was like, you know, let's just.
Wait, how do you graduate Bible college in a year?
You don't. That's the point. Oh, okay. So like, that's you pass, go get out. Yeah. They're like, here's a certificate. Good job, you. And I was like, thanks, guys.
That's kind of how I got through high school, too.
Yeah. Oh, twins. And second year working for my dad and obsessed with the show Glee. One of the photos, I won I won tickets from a radio show to a Glee rooftop party in the like city of Sydney, like the downtown area. The cast were coming out because it was like,
wow.
It was a brand new show. And I was like, I was obsessed. Like the fact that they finally brought musicals to TV, I just was like, this is my life. And this is how it's going to happen. I'm going to meet them. They're going to love me. Take me with them. And then it's just, this is how it's going to stop for me. Like that's the kind of life I led in that I was always planning for something better. And I was always waiting for something better. And I just, it's actually kind of painful. I don't know if you guys can relate to this, maybe not, but it's really painful to look back at me 10 years ago for so many reasons. And I think back to her and just trying so hard to be ready for ministry, trying so hard to be picked, to be chosen, to prove that I could do it. And I didn't even know what it was. Hmm. It was just ministry. And at the same time, so desperate to be married, because I've said it before, I thought that my husband unlocked my calling. And I remember back to that girl, and I was super carefree on the outside, like probably bordering on like lots of many, many issues, but like just very arrogant and very like I knew it all too after my 12 months of Bible college. And in which I was like literally had a crush on a different person every week. Like I was just that girl. Like, oh God. And I look back and I would just tell her, be careful. And it's actually really interesting because all the things I wanted, I got them all.
Mm.
And that's what I think I would tell her. And it's not what you want. Mm. And so
I wanted the worship leader. I wanted the husband. I wanted the book deal. I wanted the traveling and speaking. I wanted the America. I wanted it all. And then I freaking got it all in a decade. And I'm on this side of it going like, oh, no, 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 that wasn't, I didn't want it like that.
Mm.
And I think I was in, I said this in, I think season one, but like I was in such a rush to get it all that, and I know they always say like cliche, like God's preparing you for what he has for you. It's probably in your journal somewhere.
Yeah, probably.
Lord, prepare me. But like, and like, and there is truth to that, absolutely. But I think that that was especially true for me in that like, I wanted to get all the things that I didn't think about why I wanted them, who I was as a human, what that meant, why I was so desperate to be picked and chosen and cool, why I felt like I had to keep everyone happy, why I felt so safe in...
Because you didn't know about Enneagrams yet.
I didn't know about Enneagrams yet. I didn't know I was a three. How was I meant to know I was a three and so good at green rooms that it was devastating to my actual life? So I would tell her... And I always tell her this, whether I'm in a therapy session or talking to you guys on the podcast, like I always go back and tell her like, it's okay to slow down. We're going to get there, but like, don't be in such a rush. And there are people around you that can handle it.
Hmm.
The real stuff, they can handle it. So she was a mess.
I was also thinking, you know what, one of the best advice I would give my 2010 me, I would tell him to stop giving a crap a lot sooner.
You, dude,
this idea that you can go through life and not offend people is...
Keep everyone happy.
It's just, we talked about this a little bit in the podcast because we had some internal conversations about this, about... Trying not to offend, like trying our best to put our best foot forward and not to offend. And I remember going through, I look at my career that I did 15 years in this Christian group. And when I say I tried so hard to be the right guy, the epitome of the Christian, and I said the right things and I changed the way I looked, the way I just changed it all, the way I talked. I was very adamant about making sure that everybody knew I love Jesus, because I come from this rough background where I'm this ex-thug, you know, ex-trying to be a gangbanger, trying to be all these things, and then they had to fit me into this Christian industry, so I had to lose a lot of myself and become this thing. And I have never received more hate than when... I remember they would ask me, are you excited about releasing these records? And I would always answer them. I was like, no. And the interviewers would never understand why. And they'd be like, why are you afraid? What are you afraid of? And I'm like, I'm afraid of Christians. Mm. I'm afraid of Christians. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm not afraid of the world. I'm not afraid of anybody else. I'm afraid of Christians. Because they're going to do their best to let me know where I've fallen short. Mm. And they never let me down. They never let me down. They were always there to let me know exactly how far away I was from Jesus. And it wasn't until I got out of the industry, I realized, man, I really should have stopped caring a long time ago. I even heard T.D. Jakes said the same thing. He said he would stop caring a long time ago, realizing that you cannot, if you are trying to live a life of any type of authenticity, you will offend somebody no matter what. Mm. In your purest attempts, you think this is so pure. This post is so pure. I remember I posted a picture once. I'm like dancing on a rooftop and I posted and there was this caption that was so dope. And I was just like, I'm loving life. Jesus is awesome. Somebody hits me up. Look at the sign he's making with his hands. A sign that I didn't know I was doing.
Illuminati.
That's an Illuminati sign. And I didn't even know I was doing a sign. I was just freestyling. They caught me mid-dance.
And he was just singing in the rain.
And this guy's like, that's an Illuminati sign. You know, I talked about it in season one, you know, wearing the wrong type of jewelry. Like, all these things. And I'm like, man, I can't. I wish I would have stopped caring a long time ago, because I feel like I would have progressed in my life and in my ministry a lot further. Like, a lot of you listen to me now, and if you were a Group One fan or you whatever, you've noticed that a lot has changed in my music. You know, I'll say some shit, just like I said, shit. I'm doing a study on language, you know? I'm doing a study on language because people think that language is something more than it is not. And back then, me used to think the same thing. And I realized that language is something that only becomes powerful with intent. Like, the feeling behind the words, or the spirit behind the words, is what gives the word its value. And I'm doing that experimentation in my music, where I'm like, man, if I'm just going to speak what the heart is feeling, like, just as honest as it possibly can be. And I had some people like, oh, you know, why does it say explicit? I had this one guy hit me up, and he's like, you know, are you still a Christian rapper or whatever? And I'm like, I'm a Christian. Why you ask? Because on your album, it says explicit. And I was like, oh, so that's what determines a Christian now? I was like, okay, cool. If I rap the Bible, I would have to put explicit. And he was like, oh, you're right. My bad. I'm like, yeah, bruh, you're bad. The Bible is one of the most NC-17 pornographic type books. Like, if you read it out loud, and if you read the stories, like, this was real stuff, real life happening.
I don't even think I would audition for a role.
Oh my God, you know? Who would you play?
Like, I'm not comfortable with this. Who would you want to play?
The adulterer who stole his best friend's wife and slept with her and then, you know, peaced out and then had him killed? Or that one guy who had sex and he pulled out and spilled his semen on the floor and ended up getting in trouble for that? You know, like, there's some graphic stuff in there.
Wow.
But it's stuff that I'm like, man, if 2010 knew that authenticity was the way to be, I feel like I would have progressed so much farther, because I'm happier now. And I have, I guess, seemingly less success, because I'm not touring the world. I'm not selling as many records. I'm not whatever. But I am happy now, because I'm like, if you mess with me, if you whip me, you whip me because of me. Yeah. You're not with me because of this idea of who I am.
Right.
So I don't know.
That's so good.
I think I would also like tell myself like to be present now and not to think other people have it better. Because I did have this idea. I think people do. I lived in Australia at the time, obviously. And I'd look at the LA life, because it was everywhere, obviously. Mm-hmm. iPads were out by that stage. You know, yeah. It's wild. And MySpace was well and truly doing its thing. And I don't know. But I would look at Hollywood. I would look at High School Musical.
Yes.
No, but I would look at E! News and all this stuff. And to me, it was the goal. And I think it's so funny now to look at that and be like, on this side of the decade, it's more like find your people, not find your profile. Like, I know that's like alliteration, but like, finding your people, I never valued that.
Right.
I was always finding my next connection. Mm. And I think that is something in church world, in real world, like, I think that has been one of my biggest things over the last decade, is like not finding my next connection, finding like my people. Mm-hmm. Because connections don't hold you when you go through a divorce. Like, they don't. Connections fall away really quickly.
Say it.
I think that's one of the beautiful things I've learned in the broken pieces over the last decade, is like this little 20-year-old girl looking with like stars in her eyes at all of these famous people, and being 30 in the city that she was looking at, looking around and just seeing broken people trying to figure it out. And if we're lucky enough, we get to do it together with other people that want to admit, I'm broken.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. I think it's amazing what a decade can teach you.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You know, I think the other thing too that I would tell younger me is that I was so afraid of missing it. Like, and it wasn't even like an it was defined.
Elusive.
I think it was like maybe your calling, maybe it's like your destiny. Mm-hmm. Or for me, in the charismatic circle that I was in, there was a lot of prophetic words. They were like, you're going to do this, and you're going to be this. And, you know, it's all these grand things. And it's, like, quite overwhelming. And And, you know, I think that's also contributed to me being afraid of making mistakes because it felt like somehow I was going to ruin God's plan for my life.
Yeah.
Like, if I sleep with this one girl, I'm screwed. You know, like, God's up in
there
heaven.
There goes
like,
my basketball career.
Sorry, I can't
oh, my
try,
God. I used to break up with anyone that I would fall physically with. And it wasn't even sex. Like, if I went too far, I used to break up because I used to think, God hates me now. I can't be with you.
Yeah.
God hates me. I can't be with you.
100%.
Oh my gosh.
I can't be with you. Yeah. We're sinful and he hates us. We're out.
He's mad. We can never
and that
talk.
Was another thing too. There was moments where I fully wasn't convinced of the goodness of God.
Yeah,
that
shoot.
I was like, somewhere there is some part of him that is so disappointed and so mad with me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you beat yourself up for it. And then, you know, it's crazy because you grow a little bit older, you wise up a little bit, you mature, and you realize, oh my God, he's so good.
Mm-hmm.
God is that good. Like, it's like you can't exaggerate how good he is. And that goodness is constantly overflowing towards us. Mm-hmm. But I would say for me, going back to what I was just saying, I kind of lost my thought here. You can't miss it.
Yeah.
And so for me growing up playing video games, I remember one of the first moments playing Super Nintendo and you're playing Super Mario World and it's a 2D screen, you know, so you're moving from the left side of the screen to the right. And, you know, you're going through the blocks, you jump up and down. And if you die, and you fall down. And I remember the shift in video games once I got a little bit older where these games started becoming open world.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like you had your main mission, but you can go to all these side missions, and there was so much room to explore.
Yeah,
you weren't just fit down one thing. Now, again, there wasn't anybody powerful enough to remove themselves from this game while playing the game. And I'm not going to sit here and say, we're in the Matrix, everybody. We're in the simulation. But I think that's a lot how God's calling works over our lives. I don't think it's some 2D thing where it's just this one path and if you jack it up, you're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's this open world thing. I think there is room to explore. I think there is room to be free. I think there is room to make mistakes. And guess what? You are still in the game.
Yeah.
You aren't powerful enough to ruin this plan for your life.
Really
now,
like
whether
that.
You want to label that as God's plan, if you want to label that as the universe has your back, however you want to label that, I truly believe that we are not powerful enough to remove ourselves from this flow of love in our life.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing that you can do that could separate you from that and get you out of that. So if you're beating yourself over mistakes, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not disqualified. You are still in the game and you are still on this path that you're going on. And guess what? You just added more experience. And that's the thing about video games. Like when you go on these missions and stuff, what do you get? You get rewards, points, or whatever, and it adds to your journey. So it gives you this tool so when you're advancing and the levels get more difficult or whatever, you have more things to add and bring to that experience. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same thing as life, man. And so video games has given me a new outlook on what God's will looks like for my life.
Hey,
yo, that and Armageddon, that happens. You
preach,
know?
Mario Kart, preach.
You know, and here's the thing, man. If 2010 me could understand that we as people, as family, doing this thing together, is so important to not, for me, it was judge. Like I was so, and I've said this before, like this because when we first got married, I was so rigid in a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I was very over-spiritual. I was more like a Pharisee on certain things. Like I just felt like I had a moral high ground to make judgments. And I feel like I may have missed out on really great relationships because of that. And I know that there are people, especially in a very social media world, it's very easy to interject your spiritual morality, mm-hmm. your piety, you know, like it's mm-hmm. very, it's easy to do. But as I older I get, the more I like want to shut up. Like I couldn't fathom myself going on somebody's page and trying to tear them down because I see us as this family of people chasing after the same God, just trying to get it right. Like just attempting to get it right.
Mm.
And I can't find the ground to stand on to just say, y'all are doing it wrong or y'all are doing it a certain way that is not, you know, and to judge them. I wish I could have that time back because I wonder what relationships I may have missed out on being this judgmental person who thought he was doing it right.
Right.
I was doing my devotions today, and it was like I was watching some T.D. Jakes and then reading the Bible, and it was John 8, and it was talking about you've read this. It was when the Pharisees brought the woman that was caught in adultery to Jesus, and this is when he writes in the sand and he says, mm-hmm. you know, whoever has the first stone, go ahead and throw it. Whoever sins first. And it was funny because it's something that TD pointed out, and then when I was reading it, I was like, oh snap, I never noticed that. And some of you guys did. It says that the teachers of the law and Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say? They're using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. Mm-hmm. It says that she was caught in the act mm-hmm. of adultery. Where the hell were the Pharisees at that they could mm-hmm. catch her in the act? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If it's a brothel, mm-hmm. you can't catch her in the act from outside. Mm-hmm. They're literally saying, we walked in on this chick and she was having sex with some other dude. So you had to be in the same
space
as her. And they felt morally just to try to make her seem like she was the bad person. And I just saw myself in the story like, I would be in the same space if I took time to look at myself and the mistakes that I make and the things that go through my mind and the things that I do, but yet I'd find enough morality in me to drag someone else to Jesus and say, judge this fool. Mm-hmm. Take care of him. But fool, how'd you catch her? How'd you catch them? Yeah. You was right there with them. It makes me like, I never noticed that part. And then this fool Jesus didn't even answer them. He just wrote in the sand and said, whoever has, you know, whoever's without sin, go ahead and throw. He just needed, who was going to step up? He just called everyone out and was like, whoever sinned, you know, whoever has some, not sinned, go ahead.
Some scholars even believe that he wrote their names in sin.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. It's funny. I'm reminded of this line from Too Short. It's this one song. I got to bring Bishop it back to the Bay Area. Bishop,
the Reverend.
He said, of all things in life that you could pick to be, you sure look like a hater to me.
Hey.
And I just think, man, of all the things that you could be in life, you are choosing to be a hater.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got so many options in life. But we love to hate, you know?
We got options.
Amen.
I'm going to copy paste that in my timeline.
I'm glad that God delivered from that thing, but I hope. Look, that's if crazy. You're listening to this and you're that person, we don't want you to feel like we are mad at you, cuz there are some people that definitely ring out on the gram and let it be known how they feel, but hopefully you can see that it pays a lot more to just love one another. Because the more you deposit grace, the more you'll be able to withdraw it when it comes down to it. I think that's my mentality now. It's like, I refuse to judge, refuse to be whatever. I just refuse because I know someday I'm going to need the grace that I want to extend to people. And it's not that I'm afraid. Like, I don't think, like, I know, you know, Christian soldiers are going to be like, yeah, but you got to call it out.
The spirit fingers.
You got to call it out when you see it. I'm like, but do you? Like, do you?
He had the clenched fist.
Do you have to do that? You know, because typically when you're walking side by side with somebody in life, you have the authority to call something out because you're doing daily life with them.
Yes.
You're not seeing them from afar, you know, states away on an internet and then trying to do the same thing. But anyways, that's what I would tell 10-year me. Like, if I could get that time back, I would really love it.
Jesus, I went to the strip club and I saw her stripping. Stone her.
What the hell? But look, even interesting, look, so it is January 1.
Yes, it is.
Everybody always does the the New Year's resolutions.
Yes, they do.
I never really do those.
Resolutions.
Yeah, I never do
them. Mood board parties.
I don't feel like I need to let people know stuff. I'm just going to do it if I'm going to do it. But let's do a New Year's
vision. It's 2020. The year is 2020, so let's cast some vision.
Let's speak it so that it's on paper. It's on metaphoric podcast. Paper. Yeah. It's on paper that we said it so that when it happens, we will go back to this podcast and say, remember when. What is that thing for 2020? What's going to happen? Because we're doing big changes in our life. 2020 is going to be a crazy year. A lot of faith. A lot of faith that needs to happen in our household. Right, Queen?
Sure.
I don't know if you want to talk about it.
Nope. Okay, but what's your thing?
So my thing this year will be to be able to look into circumstances that are not there and draw forth what I want to receive from it. So I've always been a hard worker, and Krista pointed this out when I did the podcast with her. At this point, you've already heard that podcast, but I was telling her that I'm working my ass off. I'm flying to Nashville. I'm working, you know, and I'm writing all these songs, and, you know, we'll see if the Lord blesses it, you know? And she's like, why do you talk like that? And I'm like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, you have the faith to get on a plane. You have the faith to spend money to get here. You have the faith to get into all these sessions, write all these songs, record them. You have the faith to do all the hard stuff, all the work.
Wow.
But then you still say, we'll see if the Lord blesses him. Like, where's the faith to just say that he will? Because he's gotten you to all these things. Like, he's gotten you to the microphone. The song is actually in creation. It's actually being pitched as we speak. So where's the faith to just say, thank you, God, for when it comes? Because it's coming. Why do all the extra stuff and not believe in the conclusion of all the stuff that you're doing? And it hit me so hard. So this year will be the year that I call into fruition all the things that I'm working so hard to do. Like, I believe it will happen. This year, I will get a ton of sinks.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make a ton of money.
Some big ones, Lord.
And what I'm going to do with the money, we're going to help a lot more people. And along the line of helping a lot more people, we're going to have a lot of fun, too. We're going to enjoy life. So I'm calling that out. It's going to be a big year. Mm. And there's a couple things that I'm committing to. I'm scared to say this, but I want to shoot a short film.
Yes.
I want to attempt to shoot one. I don't know what it'll be about. I don't know whatever, but I want to shoot a short
Christmas.
Film. Yeah. That would be awesome for Christmas. And I am attempting to put out a song. I could put out a song every week for this next year.
Shoot.
Wow.
I could.
Wow.
Whether or not it's smart to do, I don't know. I got to do some research on that. But at this point,
you won't be able to.
I know I could. At least right now, I could for sure do every other week. But I got to talk to my boy Jay and see if it's smart, like see if it will help me to do that. But I do have it. So I'm going to commit to put out a song
even
at
just
least
creatively.
At least.
That you
yeah.
have written a song
every week. I can put out a song. So I'm going to attempt to do that this year. That's and cool. Sow the seeds. That's what I'm going to do.
Good job, babe.
And continue to grow as a man.
Good.
That's the other one. No, because it's continue to grow as a man, like in understanding and in knowledge and in grace, and become a better husband.
Thank you. I guess I should become a better wife then.
I mean, if you want to. If not, I'll just become better for both of us.
For me, 2020, the things that by the end of the year, we'll look back and listen to this podcast again and go, see, that happened. Sheesh. It came to fruition. It happened.
Yeah.
These are the things I'm going to do. One, I'm going to rest and rejuvenate.
Yeah.
And then after my time of resting and rejuvenating, I am going to reemerge. And I will have a different glow about me. They call that the glow up. And then I'm going to learn Spanish.
Yes.
I'm going to learn Spanish this year. And that will definitely be something that you'll be tangibly be able to see and hear by the end of the year. And I'm gonna leave it at those for right now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You don't want to put yourself on the hook for too much?
No. I don't know what I want to share yet.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you. You guys, what do you want to throw out there?
Elise, go for it.
Nice, B. I love that. Yeah, look at you. Know, you. I'm just trying to give you the
value. What a start to 2020, hey? What a start.
You just got to oop it.
I kind of sitting here, like, thinking about it. And I feel like mine are weird ones, but maybe that's how you're meant to feel when you, like, throw things out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I want to be consistently writing again. And not so I'm writing a book, but because I'm a better me when I'm writing and I'm processing. But I do want to be well on my way to having finishing the book or yes, we want to have finished the book, but everything's fine. I want to fall in love. I want to fall in love again. And it doesn't have to be love by the end of 2020. I'm not like married by Christmas or anything like that, but I just,
he's seen that one too.
Yeah, no, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. That's the reason I watched it. Cause Manny was recommending it. It's another Christmas movie for those wondering.
Yeah.
And get a head start on next year. So I kind of want to fall in love and just not be scared about it and like just enjoy it, freaking enjoy it, you know? And then I want to just keep growing in the way that I've been growing without it being extreme. So consistent growth, consistent roots down. Consistently just like being content with where my life is in the midst of all of that. Makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And then just like probably go to the Olympics and compete as a gymnast as well.
You're too tall.
Yeah, right.
Hey, stop stomping on my dreams. Gosh. Drake would be so mad.
No, he would tell you like it is.
No, he wouldn't.
Drake is an honest artist. It was fun. Never mind. I'm not going to get into it.
Yeah, okay.
I was going to tell you one song, but it's going to be mean.
Oh, all right, why would you do that? 2020.
I want to just continue to become a better man. I want to become more patient. I want to become more understanding. Open my mind to other point of views than myself. Yeah, definitely become a better husband for Maddie. I feel like year three was like probably the hardest, but also like the dopest.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of challenges this year. And so I feel like we're coming out in stride right now. Mm. And then two other things too. I think this year we will release a short film on our clothing brand and actually do like a full scale launch of it. Mm. I've felt fresh inspiration for it. And, it was crazy. One of the things that really inspired me was it was this Virgil Abloh. He's the creative men's director for Louis Vuitton and also the founder of Off-White. Pretty well-known brand.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked him, they said, how did you get this job? And he said, I dreamt it. I dreamt of it into existence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy because his story is like so inspiring to me. Cause it's like, here's this guy who didn't have the schooling and the proper, whatever. This guy just went and kind of just did it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's inspiring for me because I feel like there's a lot of ideas and not necessarily the funds to get those ideas, but working with what we have to get it done.
Yeah.
And so part of that is a short film, and releasing some new pieces with that. And so I think this year is going to be super amazing and there's going to be incredible growth for our brand. And again, I think that and preaching, I think that's something I would love to do more of, traveling and speaking.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that would too.
Because to me, it's like I see them both as I get to tell stories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And whether it's through the means of how a fabric is cut and the message that's on that or me actually speaking into a microphone and encouraging people through stories, I feel like more than I'm a designer or a preacher, I'm a storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are two things that I really love to do. And this year I think is going to be big for both of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like I just have a feeling I'm just like, oh, it's going to open up for me. You know, I just feel like these last couple of years actually have been almost in a way preparing me for this next year because I feel like my roots have just been going down and it's just felt like foundational years. And it's like, oh, I look over at God and I'm like, yo, it's time to fly now. Let's do this, you know?
Yeah.
And then the last thing too is go on some really cool trips this year.
Oh, yeah, we're doing that.
Yeah. I want to spend less money on clothes and shoes and more on experiences this year. So that's something that I am committing to do.
That's cool.
And we're going to vlog it.
And we're going to vlog it. It's going to be dope.
Yeah. One thing I did forget to throw out there. This podcast, so many dreams going through my mind for it.
Yep.
You've probably heard me say it before, but I want to tour this podcast. The only way to tour this podcast is obviously with your guys' help. You guys actually coming on board. The more you share, the more listeners we get, the bigger the fan base grows, the more plausible it becomes. And there's a lot of things that I'm kicking around in my mind from, you know, searching out advertisers, starting a Patreon system to where... And this is just, you know, off the top of what I've been thinking, you know, an actual community of people that believe in the podcast. And and if you've never heard of Patreon, it's just basically a monthly type giving thing, and to where you support the podcast and then the podcast can actually do more stuff. And so touring the podcast is one of the biggest goals of mine. I don't know how. I don't know when it can happen. I am committing to this. This is what I want to commit to. In 2020, we will do at least one. Well, we're already doing one live event at V-Real's school, right?
Church.
But beyond that, an event that we put together, I'm claiming that this year we'll have at least one.
Yeah.
At least one, you know, at least one live event to see it come to life and what I see in my mind of what it could be. So in 2020, we will end up in some city. I don't know if it's LA. I don't know if it's somewhere else. But we will do a live event, a live pod, and get to meet you guys. So anyways, I'm going to roll more of that out, how you can be involved in that. And hopefully you guys will. Because hopefully we've done enough to, like, give you something to like about the podcast. You know what I'm saying? You want to see it keep going. But we're going to keep dreaming big internally and just... vocally. And if you have this thing that you want to do in 2020, hey man, like, DM us, because I kind of want to like believe with you.
That would be fun to create, like, a little night's
vision board
on the Facebook group.
Everyone,
like, you guys obviously know our things, so you can keep us accountable, but we'd love to hear your stuff, and maybe you can keep each other accountable.
Yeah, I like that.
It would be amazing. Cause here's one thing, I had the idea of the Patreon thing. So I would only ask people for $2. That's it. $2 a month, which there's no subscription. That's $2 a month. But here's what I would do with the $2. One of those dollars would be put away for the future of the Knights podcast. So if it is a tour, we have a way to pay for it. If it is whatever. Now, obviously this means a lot of people are going to have to get on board because tours aren't cheap. But $1 would be for that. And then the other dollar, you know what I would want to use it for? A fund, which me and Ange already do this, but it would be a fund for the Knights fam, for the people that are giving the $2 a month, that we'd pick somebody in that group, that's in cool. our family, and we'd do something amazing for them. We would that's meet cool. a need. So there would be, so in a way, you guys would be taking care of each other.
That's cool.
Everybody who gives the $2 a month. So it's not like a for us thing. It's to keep pushing the ministry to either get to you in person or for you guys to help each other. Just, it'll be through us and we'll facilitate it. So I think that could be dope, to feel like it's a real community, kind of like what the church was at the beginning, where you shared everything you had. So that's like the dream of it. I don't know. Let us know what you think about that. Like, if that seems like something awesome. Obviously, I don't want anybody to feel like you got to give. I don't, you know, this isn't like a pass the plate type thing, but it's just...
like church. The plate passed to you. You don't want to put nothing in it, pass it on.
Yeah, but this ain't nothing like church. This definitely ain't nothing like church in that degree. This is just, I'm casting the vision out. If you with it, you with it. If not, it's all good. I'm going to figure out a way to do it anyways. And
it's not even for sure that you're going to do that.
It's not. But I think it's a, you know, who knows? Maybe some advertisers will come through and give us a bunch of money. I don't know. All I know is these are the plans. I want y'all involved because that's what family does. We let each other know everything. So
yeah.
This is it.
No, we keep secrets. Just kidding. That's what family does, okay?
That's what family does. O'Doul's rule.
O'Doul's.
O'Doyle.
Is it O'Doyle's?
Oh, yeah,
O'Doul's is non-alcohol beer.
O'Doul's does rule then. Who's O'Doyle, though, babe?
O'Doyle?
Yeah, what's that?
Martinelli's rules.
Hell yeah.
Isn't it from a movie?
It's O'Doyle. Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Isn't it Sandler?
No. No, it's Adam, it's the Bully family.
Doyle rules.
All right. Happy New Year.
Okay. What a beautiful
2020.
Year.
Cast that vision, y'all.
Love you guys.
We love you guys, man.
If you don't have a seat at the table, yeah,
you're always welcome at Al's.
Sure.
Cheers.
Oh, babe, you could have said it.
Say it.
No, are we not saying it? You say it.
All right, everybody, listen. We hope you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you're always welcome with us.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Cheers.
And again.
Well done.